In 1954, a timid school teacher named Sybil Dorset walked into Dr. Cornelia Wilbur's office, desperate for help with her nervousness. What neither woman knew was that this appointment would uncover one of the most profound cases of psychological fragmentation ever documented. Sybil wasn't just one person, she was 16. For most of her life, she had experienced terrifying blank spells, hours, days, sometimes months missing from her memory. She would suddenly find herself in strange places with no recollection of how she got there, discover possessions she never remembered buying, and encounter people who claimed to know her through interactions she couldn't recall. Imagine waking up in a hotel room in Philadelphia with no memory of the past 5 days, following a mysterious key in your pocket to discover evidence of a life you don't remember living. This wasn't mere forgetfulness. It was as if someone else had been living her life while she was away. Sybil's alternate personalities weren't merely different moods. They were fully developed individuals with distinct characteristics, handwriting, voices, and even different allergic reactions. Each emerged as a protective mechanism, holding memories and emotions Sybil couldn't bear. Peggy Lou carried her repressed rage, while Peggy Ann embodied terror. Victoria, Vicky, represented sophistication, speaking French and displaying knowledge of European art Sybil had never studied. The male personalities revealed complex gender dynamics. Mike exhibited mechanical aptitude and strength, while Sid displayed athletic prowess, qualities discouraged in girls from her conservative community. Other personalities included maternal Mary, intellectual Clara, artistic Marcia, ambitious Helen, charming Marjorie, childlike Ruthie, rebellious Vanessa, religious Nancy Lou Ann, and depressed Sybil Ann. This fragmentation allowed Sybil to compartmentalize overwhelming trauma. While it enabled basic functioning, it created a life of confusion. Imagine living only one-third of your waking hours as yourself, with the remainder distributed among 15 other versions of you. As therapy progressed, a horrifying picture emerged of Sybil's childhood in Willow Corners, Wisconsin. Behind the facade of a respectable middle-class home lay a torture chamber presided over by her mother, Hattie Dorset. The abuse began in infancy. Sybil was strapped in a high chair while her mother played piano, drowning out her cries. By age 3 and a half, she no longer cried at all. Hattie's sadistic rituals included forcing Sybil to drink excessive laxatives, then punishing her for soiling herself, physical violence that caused serious injuries, burning her with hot irons, and binding or choking her to simulate blindness or death. Most disturbing was the sexual abuse. Hattie inserted various objects into Sybil's body, claiming she was preparing her for adulthood. These violations left Sybil permanently scarred. When not torturing her daughter, Hattie became completely self-absorbed, ignoring Sybil entirely. No one intervened, not family, teachers, neighbors, or even doctors who saw her injuries. Unable to endure, Sybil would dissociate, allowing another personality to emerge and bear what she could not. While Hattie actively abused Sybil, her father Willard was passively complicit. Despite being intelligent and respected as a craftsman, he remained emotionally absent, preoccupied with work and failing to protect his daughter. He would inquire about injuries, but never intervene. When Dr. Wilbur confronted him in 1957, Willard's defensive facade cracked. Initially evasive, he eventually admitted knowing about Hattie's abuse. Dr. Wilbur challenged his failures, financial neglect, refusing to acknowledge Sybil's problems, and betrayals like lying about her tonsillectomy and barring her from her grandmother's funeral. His claim, "I tried to be a good father," rang hollow. Sybil's grandmother Dorset provided the only bright spot in her childhood, offering love and stability. In Grandma's sanctuary, Sybil drew pictures and chose dried fruits from the cupboard. When Grandma died when Sybil was 9, she lost her only protector and source of unconditional love. Willow Corners' extreme religious environment further complicated Sybil's childhood. Religion became another source of fear. Armageddon was table talk, and Satan a live-in presence who might get her at night. Dr. Wilbur approached Sybil's alternate personalities not as symptoms to eliminate, but as legitimate psychological entities requiring integration. It is only by getting to know the others that you can make them part of you, she explained to a resistant Sybil, who initially refused to confront her other selves. When finally hearing recordings of her alters, Sybil mistook Peggy Lou's voice for her mother's and screamed in panic. Sodium pentothal treatments provided remarkable relief, 56 to 70 hours of wellness after each session, helping buried memories surface and persist in normal consciousness. Sybil began experiencing emotions previously accessible only to her alters, realizing that anger triggered dissociation. By autumn 1959, Dr. Wilbur introduced hypnosis to accelerate integration through systematic age progression with each personality. The breakthrough came in January 1962 when Sybil consciously acknowledged her suppressed rage. "I hate her. I hate that bitch. I want to kill my mother." This release of hatred marked a crucial turning point in reclaiming emotions denied since childhood. The integration process accelerated as Vicky, the memory trace personality who knew about all others, brought the personalities together. Some resisted. Mike declared, "I'm not going to be part of a woman. Sid isn't either." By March 1964, Sybil secured a hotel receptionist job where she met Ramon Alegre. With him, she experienced romantic love without dissociating and accepted physical affection. When their relationship ended, she remained herself, a crucial breakthrough. By January 1965, most selves had consolidated. Mary and Sybil Ann merged, Vanessa moved closer to Sybil, Marcia joined after accepting her death wish for mother, and Peggy disappeared after completing Ramon's portrait. Dr. Wilbur realized the goal wasn't making Vicky central, but returning all memories to the waking Sybil. On September 2, 1965, Dr. Wilbur recorded All Personalities One. The integrated Sybil combined all personalities. She now experienced life with fresh wonder, feeling real emotions, accounting for every minute, and marveling at ordinary experiences without interference from within. In the 7 years following integration, Sybil thrived. She bought a home, adopted a cat, and celebrated having the first continuous year of my life. Her letters expressed wonder at ordinary experiences. It's amazing how much a well person can accomplish. And I can remember everything and account for every minute of each day. Visiting New York in 1969, she walked alone through places her former selves had known, recalling past feelings without reliving them. Though occasionally regretting lost time, she found purpose through teaching. By 1972, Sybil had transformed completely, advancing professionally, earning colleagues' respect, becoming beloved by students, and maintaining independence. Her art now reflected the wholeness of an integrated artist rather than fragmented styles. Sybil's journey reveals the mind's capacity both to protect through dissociation and heal with proper support. Despite unimaginable trauma, her fragmented psyche reformed into a complete functioning person, affirming that wholeness remains possible even in our most broken state.